Hello, welcome back to CDM Cyclist. I'm your host, Frank Peters, and may I say a special thank you, special welcome, if you've clicked on over from coronadelmartoday.com. Got a good show for you today, a great interview with John Ciccarelli from bicyclesolutions.com. John's organization, based out of San Francisco. I was going to be in the Bay Area this week. Pulled a few strings with friends to get introduced to John, and I'm glad I did. John provides a service to people new to San Francisco, that is, new with bicycles to the city. He calls it ride-along coaching. Now, usually when I do an interview, we find a nice quiet place to sit down. When I heard of John and his ride-along coaching, well, I just had to try it. I knew that John, observing, you know, my skills riding around busy San Francisco, would provide some grist for the mill as we sat down eventually to talk, and we spent an hour going all over the city of San Francisco. I'm not sure that I know where I was at every moment, but John sure did, and in that hour, he showed me all kinds of infrastructure improvements the city has built to accommodate cyclists. Along the way, some art, some outdoor art, bicycle art. Saw a lot of cyclists. Really, it was a beautiful day. Had a great time. And anyway, that's the nature of today's interview. I've categorized this on the blog as another multimodal. I created a tag called multimodal as I edited this interview. And unlike other posts when I have an audio interview, I put together quite a travel log that goes with this. Many times I'm a little short with my descriptions of my audio interview guests, but not this time. In part because John took me to so many interesting places, told me stories, what's going on, described what the wiggle is, a special roadway through some of the hilly parts of San Francisco. I've got pictures of all of these situations. You're going to want to come by the website. And again, that's cdmcyclist.com. Let's listen to John Ciccarelli. Boston Bike's Nicole Friedman introduced us. I've been dying to ask you, how do you know Nicole?
I met Nicole at Stanford. She was a Stanford student, and she was my one and only intern at Stanford when I was Stanford's first bicycle program manager in the mid-90s.
Great. In the mid-90s, huh? Resistance to change often accompanies you pioneers in bicycle safety.
Well, fortunately, Stanford's been a bike university for a long, long time. There have been thousands of bikes in motion at Stanford since, I couldn't even tell you, probably the 50s or 60s, ever since bikes became popular again after World War II. And what we were doing was just formalizing a lot of what was going on, deciding it's time to give the cyclists their students, grad students, faculty, and staff some high-quality bike parking, make sure that they understood their responsibilities to not block entrances, support the bicycle commuting mode as well as Stanford's other alternative modes to help the university make its goals of holding the car trips constant as they continue to develop. They have an agreement with Santa Clara County that's basically is a 10-year large-scale umbrella agreement that says you don't increase car trips and we won't make you pay a lot of money to blow out traffic signals and make them bigger.
Now, I can tell some listeners might think, so they're different up there. They're not like people in my neighborhood. They were more inclined to cyclists' priorities than average.
Any sort of residential university, especially one of the scale of Stanford, really can't be set up so that you can move a car between classes. It just doesn't work. The students at Stanford can keep a car, but the car is permitted to stay near their dorm and really can't move around campus because the commuter lots are A, not legal for students to park in, and B, full anyway. We called our Type C commuter parking permit a hunting license. So you get the idea. This is typical of a large university. But Stanford's also blessed with just about dead-on perfect weather, fairly level terrain, and weather that you don't have to worry about for 6 months. And it's the natural vehicle to get between classes.
Right. Now, John, I think you scrambled my brains a little bit. You've led me on a vigorous ride around San Francisco. You're used to it, but, you know, I ride along the beach boardwalk. What were some of the highlights of the route that you took me on just now?
I have to tell you, Frank, that you're two times through the League's Traffic Skills 101 class have served you well. Your moves and decision-making was flawless out there. So we explored a little bit of the more urban streets on our way to Valencia Street, which was a lane conversion that reduced the number of traffic lanes by one, added a center turn lane, widened the sidewalks, and added bike lanes. And it's now the bike street for people to get to and from the Mission, where a lot of people live, because it's hip and less expensive than some other parts of the city. So it's kind of like the bike expressway through the Mission. And you saw a lot of innovations along the way. We wiggled through the wiggle, which is a zigzag.
That's what I'm going to title this interview, John. I rode the wiggle with John Ciccarelli.
The wiggle is a way of avoiding the steepest way to get from one part of the city to another by zigzagging a route that someone else has worked out for you, well-signed, equipped with shared lane markings to make it so that you don't have to climb the steepest hills in the city. So, yeah, San Francisco's got hills, but we've got it figured out.
Now, when we started and you told me that we were going to do that, I could look up and see where we were headed, and I was a little intimidated, but the wiggle... Everybody must feel the same way, huh? It works.
It works. And to the great credit of the city, they have a department. It used to be a bicycle department, but it's now just part of the great streets department of the city that works in all modes to make them balanced and harmonious and still do a great thing for bicycles, both routes, signs, paths, parking support, all sorts of support for bikes. Bikes are big here and getting bigger.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Now, you were telling me earlier, you're a, can I say, old software guy.
Yeah, me too. First career, software designer. That's actually what brought me to California to work in Silicon Valley. Everywhere from Xerox Research all the way through Adobe to work on Acrobat. And decided I'd have enough of edit, compile, debug after a while and on to something else. It sort of coincided with my increasing interest in the bike as transportation.
Must have been fun to let go of that and get involved with bicycle design. I mean, you know, to think of it as a job, it's fun too, right? Yeah, have to reconcile that.
Yeah, it's nice to have it aligned with one's larger purpose in life and wanting to do something good instead of the next whiz bang thing. I still enjoy software and talking about software, but I really like what I do now.
Tell me some of the projects you might be working on, John.
I work on bicycle master plans for cities and counties. I do a fair number of those over time. I work on largely with other companies on these projects. I don't bite them off all by myself. Work on path designs, designs for bike lanes on streets, bicycle parking infrastructure, the design and equipping of bike rooms and transit bike stations where you can leave a bike securely inside a shared enclosure and still lock the bike inside. And I do a lot of education these days. I have a certification from the national organization, the League of American Bicyclists, and as do several thousand others. But I also specialize in learning, in teaching people who are learning how to ride for the first time. There's a lot of people that come to the Bay Area, especially either from other countries, a lot of women, or from other cities like New York or Hong Kong, where there didn't seem to be a reason to learn how to ride a bike, and now here they are in San Francisco, and they see how much it expands their options, and they want to learn. So I've taught over 350 adults over the last few years.
Oh, wow, that's quite a large number. Now, you made a comment earlier about the economics of riding a bicycle suits young people in the city. That makes sense. How'd you put that, John?
Well, especially in San Francisco, it costs to park a car, and that parking charge is not wrapped into a house or an apartment the way it is in a suburban context. Here, you know what the parking is going to cost you, and as a matter of fact, the garage or the parking space is optional. So having that cost, what we call unbundled or unpacked, lets you more easily make the economic choices involved. Also, just having to find a parking space, assuming that you're going to choose to park on the street, keeping a car up, insurance, And the fact that it's a 7x7 city, it's not all that far to bike from home to work and everywhere in between. It, like most cities, including a lot of suburban cities, the destinations are close enough together. You can stop at Trader Joe's on the way back, hit the bike shop, stop for a latte, hit the bank, and do it way easier than reparking a car. So it's kind of a natural vehicle. We talk in terms of bicycle commuting and the planning for that. We talk about how many hours do you actually have to work each workday to pay for the car that got you to work. And once you figure out those hours and add that to your commute time, what's your real commute speed, all things considered, including your wallet? It's pretty interesting.
Right. Well, not to mention cost of housing here in San Francisco has to be one of the highest in the country, right? So it's, anyway, a great economic relief for no matter what your age.
And that's true in all sorts of cities, too, not just cities as dense and as intense with choices as San Francisco. This works well in Palo Alto, which is down the peninsula. It's a very suburban city. I think the highest building there is about 4 stories, except for one that was exempted. And so this is not stuff that just works in the most urban of the urban context. This is stuff that works anywhere that you've got enough density to want something that's a lot faster than walking and don't need a car for every trip.
Now, bicycle advocates that might be listening, they're thinking about San Francisco and thinking, well, they've got it all made up there. It's all figured out. It's all done. But I can imagine it's an ongoing issue, right?
It is ongoing. We've gotten to the point here in San Francisco where bikes are taking up a significant amount of the traffic space. So that's unusual, but a lot of cities are reaching that threshold too. Also, the systematic inclusion of bikes, parking for bikes, secure parking for bikes in buildings, which is a barrier, is being taken care of here with policies. You have 3 factors that we look at for your ability to use a bike for a given trip: your home end factors, or your origin factors, your en route factors, which is what most people think about. Is there a bike lane? Is there a shared lane marking? Is there a path? And then your destination end factors. Do I have to dress for work? Is my bike going to get stripped or ripped off because I've got to park it in an unsecure place? Is my department manager okay with me coming in on a bike? So the destination end is something that the city can help with as well.
You and I are fortunate in terms of at either end, these fold-up bikes makes it easy to take it right in with you, huh?
That's right. You and I are both riding Bromptons, which is a British-made folder, but there's a wide variety of folding bikes here in the Bay Area with really good transit. Although you've got good transit down your way, too, it lets you be intermodal a whole lot more. When you come from car use as your primary way of thinking, you have to you think that the car's the thing that can do everything, so I'll only use a car. Once you start thinking more flexibly, you realize that you can combine a bike with a bus, especially an express bus, with a train, with BART, with intercity trains like your Metrolink down in the Southland, and meeting people at a restaurant or something like that and put it on their vehicle. The folder completely facilitates that. And there's the Brompton is among the folders that are designed to be rugged for the city and fold fast and compact so it maximizes your flexibility.
I have a friend who about a year ago took a job downtown Los Angeles. Well, it's not just, you know, the cost of gas and wear and tear on his automobile to get there, but then the monthly parking fees are gigantic. So it all the bicycle could save people a lot of money. Now, I want to go back to one of the first things you showed me today was the city in certain places taking a parking place. And what do you call that, John?
It's called a parklet. It's called a parklet. And this came out of a kind of a fun promotional program called Parking Day, where the challenge was, here, we're going to give you temporary use of a street parking stall. What can you do with it? All sorts of things. A common street parking stall use is to build a kind of little platform and put a bunch of bike racks on there, so you park like 12 bikes in the space of one car. But it gets better. Some of the cafes down in North Beach have replaced one or two parking stalls with a platform that has cafe tables and palm trees and planters to kind of form an enclosure. And if you do the numbers, you realize that the restaurant tax on that thing far outstrips the parking revenue that the city would get. So you see all sorts of things. I think you saw a guy playing a guitar on one of the built-in benches on one of the parklets on Valencia Street today. So the sky's the limit.
And then at another one, we saw somebody doing a little do-it-yourself bike repair.
Well, that was in front of Freewheel Bicycles on Valencia, and they have a work stand there, place to sit and talk, and some parking for their customers' bikes and their sale bikes.
John, you made a comment earlier today, too, where we were talking about, like, in my city, trying to make a difference, trying to be a bicycle advocate, talked about a three-legged stool. What's that analogy again?
The cities that from the 90s when I started to get involved with this were making the most progress had three elements. They had staff, at least one person. Like I was Stanford's first full-time person doing bikes, and we were able to cover a lot of ground in every dimension just by virtue of having one person full-time. So staff is one leg of the stool. Another leg of the stool is an advisory committee. Because bikes are not a mode that all engineers and police officers and teachers, et cetera, are familiar with, it helps to get a kind of a citizens advisory committee together, volunteers that meet once a month or every 2 months or whatever is needed to help staff understand the bicycle mode and do the right thing with the city's or county's money. This is similar to an architectural review board or a citizens advisory committee for disability access. It's inside the door of government, but it's still volunteer. And outside the door of government, it helps to have a strong advocacy presence. That can be one person, but it's better if it's more. Here in San Francisco, the city's Metropolitan Transportation Administration has a streets department and planning that really understand bikes. So it's been mainstreamed here on the staff side. They have had a bicycle advisory committee for many years, if not decades, chaired by a good friend of mine, Bert Hill, who's also the lead instructor for the city. And the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition now has 11,000 members and growing strong. So it's a big city with big, big stool legs, if you want so to speak, on all three of those. Where we see things working less well, it's often the case that one or two of those are missing. So that's a framework that...
Any common pieces missing? Is it typically staff or...
Often small cities can't afford a dedicated staffer, so they're lucky if someone who's already got a staff job maybe in public works or planning also gets bicycling, understand what's involved, and can serve as a resource person even though they're not maybe tasked with it or tasked full time. On the advisory side, I've often seen new advisory committees full of energy, but not yet well informed about what the possibilities are and the trade-offs. It's often the case that they will not necessarily make the right choices as far as what could and couldn't go on a street to improve conditions for bicycling. That gets better the more that the members of the committee are willing to educate themselves. And you see a lot of advisory committee members go to professional conferences. That's actually was my path into the field. The first few years before I switched careers, I took advantage of the Pro Bike, Pro Walk conferences, which happen every few years, and learned a lot. And then on the advocacy side, I've seen shoebox operations that are pretty much a couple people that the regulars that show up at city council meetings, all the way to full professional corporations, nonprofit corporations like San Francisco, like Cascade Bicycle Club in Seattle, like the Los Angeles County Bicycle Coalition.
Well, it's been a beautiful day for a bike ride, huh, John? Temperatures in the 70s, and it's been that way for days. I looked forward to this. And you gave me a good workout today, too, John.
You get to hop on BART and head down to Palo Alto for an enjoyable evening and maybe a little bit more on the bike. And thank you for taking the time to come to San Francisco and see some of our sights.
I enjoyed it very much, John. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Frank.
We're back in the studio, and before we say goodbye, I'd like to say thank you to my sponsor. That's BikeTiresDirect.com. Check them out, please. BikeTiresDirect.com. Well, I have an excuse for travel. I go to financial conferences several times a year, and I've learned over the past year or so to do a little homework prior to the conference, see if I can identify a, you know, a bicycle advocate, somebody in the world of cycling, you know, before I depart, see if I can arrange an interview. I enjoy combining my financial interests and bicycling. And when this trip to San Francisco and Palo Alto, I knew I had an opportunity to double down. So the next time we get together, I have another terrific interview from a gold-level city in the San Francisco Bay Area. You're going to want to come back and listen to that again, too. In the meantime, would you come by the website? John and I would both love to hear your thoughts on today's interview. Leave a comment behind cdmcyclist.com. Well, thanks so much for listening, and good night.